Our study this morning is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, to chapter 5, verse 10. The eternal perspective for godly ministries. False teachers claiming to be apostles had entered the church in Corinth, and they tried to promote their own views while discrediting the person and the message of the apostle Paul. This is a difficult situation for Paul. His readers were immature believers who had been saved out of corrupt backgrounds in a city that was known for its vice, so they were easy prey for false teachers, and Paul had to be careful how he handled the situation lest his readers think that he was being unjustly defensive, and thus he would end up discrediting himself. 2 Corinthians chapters 1 through 7 deal with Paul's relationship with the church, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 5:10 gives the eternal perspective for the godly Christian ministry. So we view it for our insight and application. I want to start off with the word prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you grant us to be able to meet together, to fellowship around the Word of God. We thank you for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, who authored the Word of God through holy men of God, who illumines the Word of God to us so we can understand it, and then who equips us as we rely upon his power to live it. And we ask for wisdom to utilize each one of the ministries of the Spirit of God this morning to understand the text, to use it, to apply it, and that for the glory of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 5, 10. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this, that would be this tent, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing as God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Excuse me. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor. That whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Having described the sufferings that his ministry team faced in their discipling work in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 15, Paul described the glorious eternal results of that suffering in the spirits of the team in verses 16 to 18. Paul and his co-workers did not lose heart or despair. The Greek word is ekakeo, over the sufferings in discipling his readers, for not only was that suffering worthwhile in terms of the discipling production it produced for God's glory, but it produced enormous glory within the ministry team members themselves. This is something that often we lose sight of. There's a tremendous amount of glory that occurs in the discipling process because people's lives are changed. But there's also something else that is going on. When a person who's ministering is undergoing suffering, God is working through that suffering to build glory in that minister, in that person who's serving the Lord. And that glory is going to be seen at the rapture of the church. It's amazing what God does. He takes the sufferings that we have, and he makes enormous mileage out of it. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, the glory that shall be revealed is not worthy to be compared. The suffering that we suffer is not worthy to be compared to the glory, the compensatory glory that is going to be revealed in us. The Apostle explained that the relatively light affliction that was rather short in view of eternity was working for the ministry team to produce a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory in the inner man of the team members. And of course, that glory will become revealed in eternity. It's interesting, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, the prophet Daniel was used of the Lord to predict that those who turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever. That's going to be something. Well, the focus of Paul and his ministry team was thus set on the unseen spiritual realm of the inner man, as opposed to the outward seen realm of the temporal body. For the things which were seen were temporal, but the things which were not seen were eternal and would stay with them forever. So there's a tremendous amount of value in ministering for the Lord, especially if you're facing suffering, because God's using that in the lives of people around you to disciple. He's also using that in your life to build up the glory within that will be revealed. And he's doing that by his grace. It's not something that we can concoct on our own. It's something that God does. Well, with this focus on the eternal view, Paul launched into his longing for the eternal state. Paul claimed that we believers know by divine revelation that if our earthly house of this tent or tabernacle, the Greek word is skene, it's used of a tent. And John uses it in John chapter 1 where he says Jesus tabernacled amongst us. When Jesus was in the body, he was veiling the expression of his divine glory, but in the body, John likened it to a tabernacle. He tabernacled amongst us. And Paul picks up the same theme, and he says, currently in these earthly bodies that we have, these temporal bodies, they're tabernacles. They're temporary dwelling. The temporary dwelling of this mortal body, if it were to be destroyed, we have an eternal building from God in heaven that is not built with human hands. It's the glorified body. For in our current state, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, that mortal might be swallowed up with eternal life in the physical realm. Wonderfully, the one who has fashioned for us this very purpose is God himself. And he has given us the indwelling spirit as the arabon, the first installment, the deposit, the down payment, the pledge that secures a legal claim to the article in question. There's a derivative of arabon that is used in modern Greek for an engagement ring. You give it. I don't know if it's the actual word arabon, it might be something that's a derivative of it, but it's a promise of something that is yet to come. In other words, God's gift of the Holy Spirit to us lays God's claim to our earthly bodies, that Christ's salvation that has been applied to our spirits will let the rapture be applied to the salvation and hence to the glorification of our physical bodies. So our physical bodies haven't been redeemed yet. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 talks about the redemption of the body as the rapture of the church. Now, this is why we Christians still get the flu, we get sick, we die, because our bodies have not yet enjoyed the benefits of the redemption of Christ. The redemption of Christ is applied to the body like it has been applied to the soul. It's applied to the body at the rapture of the church. And that when that happens, then our bodies will never die because the effects of sin are completely removed at that particular point. And so we'll be with the Lord. Okay, we are always thus confident that though we are at home in our earthly bodies, we are away from the Lord, who has laid full claim to both our spirits and our bodies. We thus walk, or we live, the Christian life by faith, not by sight, waiting for the redemption of our bodies, Romans 8:23. We are thus confident and willing rather to be absent from this earthly body and to be present with the Lord should death precede the rapture for us. This is a wonderful verse because it also means that when a believer dies, he does not go into a state of suffering in purgatory, but he's immediately taken from the heavenly presence into the heavenly presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So it's not to be absent from the body is present in purgatory. If you're going to have to be there for a couple hundred years undergoing suffering until you get purged of your sins so you go on to heaven. No. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. We're with the Lord. and that's a wonderful truth. I love to minister at the funeral. Not that I love the funeral. I love to minister at the funeral of a dedicated believer in Christ, because it's a privilege to tell people, look, this person is now in the presence of God, where there is fullness of joy. The instant they died, they were immediately ushered into the presence of God. And they're happy there. They're thrilled there. They don't want to come back. They want to stay. In fact, they want the rest of us to come on and join them. That's their attitude now. And it's a wonderful privilege to share that at a graveside or a funeral to encourage people, because that's very, very true. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. So, having introduced the idea of meeting the Lord at the end of this life, Paul noted that his ministry team labored to be found accepted of God, whether he left them on earth or called them to heaven. So after all, we believers must stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive from him rewards or a lack of rewards for what we have done in these mortal bodies in our Christian lives. So whether it's good or bad. So it's interesting, Paul starts with the issue of suffering, Christian suffering for serving the Lord. There's a suffering that is involved in discipling people, but it's glorious because of what it's achieving in the lives of people. It's also glorious because what God graciously is doing in the person who's suffering in his ministry. That made Paul long for heaven, but in longing for heaven, he thought, okay, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be facing the Lord, which means I better have done my job here on the earth. So he gets back, after thinking about eternity, gets back to the real life of this life, and he wants to be motivated to keep serving the Lord. So it goes full cycle. God uses the ministry sufferings we believers face to produce not only discipling blessings, but great glory in our spirits that will be unveiled in eternity. This leads us to long for the eternal state, and that in turn leads us to focus on all the more unrightly serving God now, that we might give it a good accounting at Christ's judgment seat. So may we not lose heart in facing ministry sufferings, but in view of the glory of discipling, and that is being produced in us in the process, and in view of our accountability to Christ in eternity, may we keep on doing the will of God and doing the assignments that he has for us. You know, the more I get into the scripture and study, I'm amazed at how marvelously God has designed our lives. He's incorporated even the weaknesses that we face that are a result of sin. He's incorporated the sufferings that we face that are the product of sin, and he's utilizing those to produce compensatory glory that is far beyond being even compared with that suffering. Only God could imagine such a thing. But of course, he's had eternity to think about this. We look at suffering, we look at pain and trouble in a negative sense, and he said, and we think, you know, it'd be good to put a period here and move on. In a sense, it is. But in a sense, just the opposite is true. God is taking the sufferings that we're facing right now. He's using them in us, and he's using us in those sufferings to disciple other people more effectively. And that should be motivating us to be all the more encouraged to be abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the subject that we've covered this morning.